Good.
We are about to continue our mystery journey, mystery tour, because it started a few weeks ago when we discussed the 3D holograms that Moshe apparently was given the instructions for the Mishkan and the Kelim. We moved on to the discussion of the interaction with God through a vessel of some sort called a Choshen with God's name in it and what it was. And today I wanted to touch on what Abarbanel understands as a proof or an emphasis on the afterlife. And he thinks that the Shabbat is a very, very strong indication and insinuation to the afterlife. Before that, I just want to touch two interesting chiddushim that Abarbanel brings about what happens in Chet Egel and post Chet Egel. Abarbanel thinks there is no chance that Am Yisrael were looking for a substitute to Moshe in the form of a human. Because what happened was that, and I'll explain exactly what the way this the way he delivers this. What happened was that they got disappointed. We remembered right after Kiryat Yam Suf, they were disappointed that he moved and talked, asked them to continue the journey without the Amud. And they didn't like the fact that there's a human being who disappears. A man could be affected by the world. They don't know how he gains his powers or his strengths. They get very shaken by that. And they don't know what to do with the fact that he disappears for so long. It's unclear if they knew how many days he's going to be gone for and if they did a calculation or didn't have a calculation. But the bottom line is, they were not even looking for a God. They were looking for something that they can lean on to know what's in store for them, where they should go, and what they should do. And they wanted that in the form of what Abarbanel says. He calls it Talsemaot. Talsemaot, or a kind of a amen, like a kamea, like some.
A talisman.
Which is.
Kind of like a mascot, an amulet. Oh,
An
some
amulet,
representation of
right? So they were looking for an amulet, and they wanted this amulet to lead them, tell not lead them, but that they would be able to interact with this and be led to go where they need to go and know what's in store for them, etc. And Aaron, when he says Chagla Hashem Achar, and the whole thing was just a very unfortunate chain of events. That and miscommunication and some of the I would say the less sophisticated from Am Yisrael, Hayumehem says Abarbanel, Anashim Boarim Ba'am, Blishum Da'at U'Tvunah, imbeciles, Shebirotam Tmunata Egel VeYofi HaZahav. At the end, when what came out is this calf, Hishtachavu Lo VeEmru Ela Elohecha Yisrael. That wasn't the intention of the masses when they asked for Aaron to solve the situation. So that's one chiddush. I'm not going to go deep into that because we want to talk about Abarbanel's discussion on the afterlife, on the spiritual world. But he just goes into full detail on why it was Chag LaHashem Achar. Ve'lo ala libam, says Abarbanel, she'egel hu haya sibat ha'sibot. They didn't really think that this calf was the unmovable mover, the God, right? The one who made heaven and earth. We're not talking about that at all. Aval bikshu atalsa'am shekabel kochot ma'elyonim. Just like a lot of avodah zarah and avodat elilim, idol worshipping, is not necessarily always directed strictly 100% to the idol itself. But some of the avodah zarah, if you speak to them, they'll tell you, yeah, we believe that this object gets its powers from a higher power. And in this case, that's what Am Yisrael were looking for, and that's what they were striving for. And this thing would help us navigate ourselves physically, metaphorically, to our next step in life. Think about the confusion, think about the limbo they were in, think about the lack of, I don't know if it's self-esteem, but they had no foundation to what?
Listen, they're stuck in the Midbar. They can either stay there go back to Egypt or go forward to Canaan, and they would have been led by a malach like they had in the past. So they had this pillar of fire and smoke. I mean, they had things there, call them angels, call them whatever representations, were with them all the time. So this is, they just wanted to help, I guess, push it forward a little bit, so to speak. Also, a Navi, if you have a Navi, he's also a representative of Hashem,
Right.
or God appoints. So this is, they're trying to appoint one themselves to carry forward on the game plan, which is to head
Right.
into.
Right. 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 And that's what went out of control, spinned out of control, when some led the rest to make this into what it became, which was a terrible, terrible sin. That's why Abarbanel says, Elohim asher ilchu lefaneinu, gods, not one god, gods. Lefi shehayu bo kochot ha'elyonim. It had powers from, it got its power and strength from other powers, divine powers. Okay. So before we go down into the Shabbat and the afterlife, and this is again going back to the fact that Moshe is a human being. One day he's here, the next day he's not. And that makes them lose their confidence, and that's what makes them be very frail, even more frail, and look for stable solutions for themselves. Shelo yatek mimkomo v'tamid yelech imanu, will always be with us, will always lead us, will be constant. V'yelefaneinu. I mean, that's almost legitimate from a people who just went through the experiences they went through. U'bikshu ze me'aron b'choshvam. They asked this from Aaron. That in his wisdom, he will know what exactly should and can be done. Okay. All right. The second chiddush that Abarbanel says before we go into the afterlife is very interesting. This parasha is very dominant. Some parashot you see have a theme in them. And one of the themes in this parasha I find is the emotion of anger. Moshe has, right, when he breaks the luchot, and then God with his response. Or interaction, or what the Torah represents for us, God's anger. Abarbanel takes one step forward, and when Moshe begs Hashem to stay with him, "Imen panecha olchim imanu, al yalenu mizeh," don't take us from me if your face isn't with us. Or Abarbanel takes that to the anger. Abarbanel claims that the word panim in this scenario means anger. "V'im en panecha holchim." Meaning, if your anger is doesn't go away from here, I'd rather not move from this location. I don't want to continue with a God who's in a state of, he's so present with us that the immediate response and repercussion of a human who is so desecrated and so low is that bad things are going to happen. And that's why Imen Panecha Olchim, Abarbanel says this. I don't know if anyone else talks about it in that way. Meaning, please, first of all, let's not have that part of God, of the providence, be with us right now because we won't be able to withstand it. And I know what the repercussions are of that. Moshe says to Hashem, and this is a chiddush I find of Abarbanel. He goes into great depths to prove why Panim in this case means anger and why that's exactly what Moshe is asking from Hashem. So now we're going to go to our continuing our journey that we discussed in other weeks of the parashot. Now we're going to the biggest mystery of all: what happens to us after we die and leave this world? He's not going to talk about that. Obviously, he's not going to go into detail. Nobody knows. Nobody. We don't have the detail of that. But what Abarbanel is going to do? He's going to put a lot of premium. And a lot of emphasis and a lot of weight on why the Shabbat and the way the Psukim are delivered to us, why they are 100% directing themselves to two different types of Menucha. There's the Menucha on this land, and what the purpose is on this land, and the what it insinuates, and what we need to proactively do, not just by preserving the Shabbat, but proactively keeping our conscious, our concepts in our mind and our soul to be directed to this thought. We're going to get to that in a minute. And the second thought, the second understanding, and the second insinuation is according to Abarbanel, with no doubt, the world to come and how everything resembles that. So we're just gonna go through it very quickly. So the first part of Rabbanel, he says, you know, the fact that he brings the Mishkan and then the Shabbat, right? So you know, we learn from that. He says, Abarbanel, you would think, he said, Mishkan, which is the greatest, I would say, the greatest melacha in the world, is to, in our mind, would be to do this type of melacha, which is the Mishkan for God, for the divine. That action, those deeds, that melacha is the most holy and sacred actions that a person could do in this world, to the extent that nothing else is similar to that. Nothing else equals to it. The You think that that's even greater than the resting for the Shabbat. And he proves that that's not the case. I don't want to go into that. You can't take what the Ramban says about Rashi. Shemilat ach means it reduces the topic itself that you're talking about, that you're just discussed. The ach is about the Melechet Mishkan and the Shabbat and how they interact one with each other. Okay, I want to move on to his essence. Shabtotai. So here he starts the journey of the different Shabbatot. Why is it said, preserve my Shabbatot, right? In Rabbim, Shabtotai. He says, because mitzvah Shabbat insinuates and hints to us, obviously, one, the fact that the world was created at some point in history. And at that creation, there was a process of creation, and then there was a rest, some sort of a day, a stage, a point where the world came to God through his decision of the creation, came to a point where the world stopped being proactively created. And he says that. He says, "Kihine gam ken Shabbat yirmoz el haolam haruchani." The Shabbat resembles the spiritual world, a world in which resting is complete and definite. He says that's, and he's going to continue going through this. This is not the first time. It's important to just understand. Kisham tiyah shvita be'emet. The real Shabbat, the real essence of this world, of this life, is the world to come. How does he prove it? He doesn't really give enough proof to that, but through the words of the Shabbat, he's going to try and prove why they insinuate to it. But he's not going to really prove that that really comes from the text itself, from the Torah, to the actual idea of there being another day. But he says the whole purpose, objective of this world is the complete, full, and ultimate menucha, which is the true world where there's no shekel, right? Mikolam. The objective of all our actions in this world is not the melacha itself, is not the actual deed of action or the fruits of your labor. It's the ultimate resting time in the world of truth, in the world of spirit. V'lekach he says, the Chachameinu says, Shabbat HaGadol, v'amu'olav mi she'tarach be'erev Shabbat, the one who makes an effort in Erev Shabbat, will eat on Shabbat. So obviously we have the simple way of understanding it, lefi pshat. If you cook and prepare for Shabbat, you'll have what to eat on Shabbat. But he says, no, it also has to do for the world to come. He named Ken Yemei HaMaaseh, the world, the 6 days of Maaseh that the Torah keeps on saying, and he's going to talk afterwards about the different words of Shamo v'Zachor. He says, the world, he named Ken Yemei HaMaaseh, the world, the 6 days of Melacha are a remez, our insinuation to the actions that humans take in this world that bring to the ultimate objective of the seventh day. And the seventh day is an insinuation to the ultimate objective of life. And that's why Chachamenu Zicholam Yivarcha used a specific word that is not used often. Et Yom HaManoach Hazeh. They could have said it Yom HaShabbat Hazeh, but they use the Yom HaManoach to hint to us that there's a menucha, there's a soul resting point in the circle of life that's not on this materialistic planet Earth that is insinuated in that world, Manoach. And again, he's going to keep on pounding on that and he'll keep on proving this.
So
V'yesh olim, can state what?
then is Is this some type of logical approach or some type of Masorah from more Kabbalistic sources? Where does the idea come
I would
from?
imagine. I would imagine from the little that I know and that I could provide here, it's a simple answer to give. But it's from both. There isn't evidence, right? And there's from Azinu, right? There's it there, and then you have the Nevi'im and Yecheskel and Chazon HaTzamot, and what do they exactly mean? And my guess, we have a Masoah, right? And we have the Midrashim, and we have the Nevi'im that insinuate to this world. But there's something very strong, almost in our minds, in our psyche, in our consciousness, that doesn't allow us to even conceive of there being only this world and no continuation to it. And
Well, that's certainly a general view today. I mean, sure, there are many people, they're not religious people. I have family members who don't buy into anything after this world. I mean, it's not, you have to come from a more religious tradition that has a religious tradition about this to think
yes, of course.
otherwise. I mean,
Of course. Of course. But we believe in the world to come in ways that other religions are less sophisticated about. Let's put it that way. Our idea of what it means, how what kind of enjoyment we have, what kind of consciousness do we have? Do we see other souls? How do we recognize other souls? There's certain details and resolutions that obviously Ayn lo ra'ata, nobody can deliver that type of information. But the fact that the world to come is the world of soul, the world in which you are somehow reunited with the divine, because we're B'Tselem Elohim and our neshama is completely spiritual, and we believe that there is a component of this life in our physical world that's a component that's completely spiritual. We obviously see this in this world as well. Like, the real enjoyments that linger are not the physical, they are the spiritual. Notice that on yourselves. Everybody can think now to themselves, where is there an enjoyment that really lingers on and on and on, where you can actually continue enjoying and having a continuation, where you don't constantly need to lift the stimulation up? Is the spiritual world much more than the physical. And we have a drive to that. We have a need for that. A person, you notice there's the great levels of depression many times come not from those who don't have, but those who have it all. Those who have everything physical that they need in this world are usually, as many times, very, very empty. The spirit needs our psyche, our consciousness, our neshama needs way, way beyond the materialistic world. We need so much more. And we see that. We see that through many things of our own lives. And you know that, better than I do. So that's why the Shabbat resembles so much, and it goes so deep, according to the Abarbanel, because it talks about the ultimate rest, where you don't have that struggle between the physical and the spiritual. It's 100% where the only thing that you are experiencing is the spiritual world. This world is beautiful and profound because through the physical world, you uplift the spirit. You manage to overcome, you manage to grow, you manage to do things that make you change and develop. Whereas in the world to come, it's static. Wherever you reach, that's where you are on your spiritual level. And that's why it's important to, very, very important to understand that Shesh Yemei HaMaaseh and the Melacha to the Abarbanel is where, how you, through the Shabbat, you grow. The Shabbat brings you. You could talk to many mystic, spiritual people, people who do also yoga, meditation. The way you reprogram your mind and your soul is through resting, through not being stimulated. And that lack of stimulation on Shabbat is not only whether you did Kiddush or you had a good cholent, or how much, wait. It's how much attention you bring to the understanding and appreciation of your spiritual side, your spiritual elements, those spiritual sides of the world, the fact that, how not to be stimulated by anything physical, right? And that type of stuff can happen on Shabbat. That's what should happen. But what happens on Shabbat many times, in shul and in other places, we keep on talking about and stimulating our minds through things that are not spiritual, but things that are physical. We keep on talking about a deal we need to do, about a game that was. About that's why the Torah is, the halakha is so brilliant, and Chazal was so brilliant in delivering the Shabbat and setting the stage in a way where You'll minimize your stimulation to zero. That's why you don't make calculations. It's not because it's a suicide. You don't want to be in a place where you are fiddling and changing your state of mind to a point where you are getting distracted. And that distraction is destructive. When you just create that distraction, you're creating something destructive to this opportunity that you have to grow. That's why the Shabbat is so critical in lifting yourself up. So before Shabbat, that's why there's no bracha also. That's why there's absolutely no blessing. A person who works on Shabbat, or even a few hours before, I find myself sometimes very tempted to, check stock market or do something else before the Shabbat. There's something wrong. I'm just saying there's something wrong about going into the Shabbat 2 minutes before, where your last stimulation or memory that you have is very superficial. It's very materialistic. Yes, it's important to check and know what's going on and to do one more deal and one more phone call and one more email. But you should come to the Shabbat in a state of mind where even before you're already preparing, before you're already dressed, not after. You're already prepared, you showered, you're ready, you're really putting yourself in a state of mind that's more spiritual. And that's why the Chazal and Halacha is the more I mature through this and the more I understand, the more I appreciate the halachot in a way that it's not, no, you did bad, is that you're missing. Chet is also lachti, means missing an opportunity. When you don't do it, when you drive to the beach, when you even do it halachically okay, when you're at the, you're missing the point. You're missing the, you're diverting yourself to a point where it's destructive to this opportunity you have to grow. Okay. So the first thing is he says, is to remember that there is an ultimate spiritual world. The second thing he says, the Shabbat nafshit. Sorry. She says, Yom HaManoach lo amru el yom HaShabbat lirmoz ha-menucha nafshit ha-amitit ha-nirmaz bo. Vashinit, Shabbat nafshiit. Zecher li-sharut ha-nefesh. That there is a soul, and this soul is eternal. And this soul has pleasure. The soul could experience things after death. The soul is not dead. It doesn't die. Sorry, it never dies. It lives forever. The soul does not have, this beginning and end. It doesn't have an end. It just continues. That's why death is not shayach to when you discuss the neshama. Val shtehem, he says, and both of them, zichrona levracha, say velo netano Hashem le'Eloheinu le'goei haratzot. The other nations don't have this full resting day and the full appreciation of what's in the world to come. Okay. And that's why Shabbat is shakul keneged kol mitzvot. The Shabbat is weighed against everything else because it's on such a high level of the ultimate objective of this world in our life, and it's against all the mitzvot. That's why it's important not only to learn the halachot and know what's allowed, what's not, it's to really to understand what you're experiencing, to be aware, right? To have this consciousness, to have this mindfulness. I'm using today's language, but to be mindful to what's going on in the Shabbat, not to just let it go by, not just, his Shabbat. Look, a lot of, there's a big difference between people who are independent, right? Self-employed and people not self-employed. People who are self-employed, the Shabbat is, oh my goodness, I have so much more to do, so much I want to accomplish. To those who are not self-employed, who find the Shabbat to be the greatest resting day, because they're always answering to somebody above them. They're always they have these the struggles and missions and objectives that are, to another organization, not to themselves. And Shabbat is almost like a rescue. And I find that a lot divides between two types of people, those who how they see the Shabbat. That's why Shabtotai is berabim, because the Shvita, the resting of the seventh day, is also on Shabbat Bereshit, that the world was created in 6 days and was a rest on the seventh day. But also, not less important, the fact that there is another Shabbat, the Shabbat to come, which is after you finish and done in this world, and your physical body deteriorates, and there's nothing left of your body. And your soul is released from this body embodiment.
Benny,
Yeah.
since Barb and I grew up in a very Catholic environment, is this somehow, in sync with the way Christians view the afterworld? Are there, there's no, he's not influenced by that. Do you think he's, this is just the Jewish perspective?
No, Barbanel was very, very aware and mindful to the Christian. He got an amazing education. You know, he knew numerous languages. He knew all about Catholicism and Islam. But no, he wouldn't be influenced to a point where you would maybe see anything here resembling those concepts. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. To the extent that I know and appreciate the Abarbanel, there isn't a chance in a million years that that would translate into some sort of something that would affect him without him being aware that it's affecting him. The only thing that affected him is maybe astrology, that was very prominent in those days, and the second thing that obviously affected him is Greek philosophy through the Rambam. He knew the Greek philosophy directly, but he also through the Rambam and through the Rambam concepts, Maimonides concepts. But I wouldn't say that you would find him being affected in a way that he wouldn't be, he wouldn't raise that flag to you as a reader, right? Okay. Beini. Now he's going to give us different words and decipher them for us, decode them for us to understand why they resemble what he thinks they resemble. What's beini, between me and you? Shiasu gam hem kmo shuit barach asa. Do like I do, beini, like I do, you do. Uvier, the remembrance and the knowledge of it, the objective of it is to know God. Ladat ki ani Hashem mekadeshchem. All these psukim and all these words are part of the Shabbat, and Abarbanel is going to show us how they keep on insinuating to us the remembrance of the fact that there was a God, that there is a God, that He created the world, that He created the world through a process and a journey that ended at some point, and the fact that this world is not the only thing that exists in this life. Obviously, the cosmos, we don't even know 0.00000% of what the cosmos and again, you know, even our own galaxy is about. Now, obviously, we don't even know what the soul is about. We don't even understand that or appreciate that, right? And we never will. And it will always remain a mystery, no matter how advanced we get in science. We will never be able to understand it because that was meant to be a realm that we can't reach, an unreachable realm. So he says, "Ladat ke'ni Hashem mikadeshchem." Remember that. That's the point of the Shabbat. Know that there's a God, and I, so to speak, again, choose to make you sacred, to separate you for an objective. Klomar shebamitzvah hazot, in this Shabbat, and thanks to this Shabbat, you will be segregated. You'll be sacred, right? In the Shabbat to come, in the world to come. Also here, but also in the world to come. Kisham, Abarbanel says, right? The nefesh reaches a certain element where it doesn't have to struggle anymore. The struggle here is also sacred. The struggle here is difficult. It's draining. It's challenging, but it has an objective. And if you use it right, and if you use the Shabbatot right, and every Shabbat you reach, it's another way to regenerate your powers, your batteries. Then you'll always lift yourself. That's why they say also old age, the pension years, or obviously the retirement years for some people are a curse and for some people are a blessing. For those who manage to live their young, youthful life in a way where they appreciate the spiritual world, where they learn and they find that something that intrigues them, the world in which your body begins to deteriorate isn't so bad because, on the contrary, now you have the opportunity to grow with your soul. And you enjoy growing with your soul because you trained your soul over the years when you were young and stimulations were plentiful. But now, when the stimulations are not plentiful, where you're old, you could stimulate your soul and you enjoy it because you already know that feeling. You know that experience. You could, that type of stimulation is not foreign to you. And that's why it's important for a person in his youth and throughout life to appreciate that side of him, of them. That's why that helps us grow through our youth, and that's what helps us enjoy the years where our body is getting weaker. Gamken, you'll keep and preserve the Shabbat for another time. Vehu, what's that other time that Abarbanel says? That's Kadosh Hu Lachem. And that, he says again, says that that proves again, he doesn't let go. He's not going to let go. Every single word here in this whole Shabbat will insinuate the world to come. And it's very interesting. Abarbanel was an extremely analytical, bright, sophisticated human being, and his knowledge of Torah was tremendous. His knowledge of secular knowledge was also tremendous, but he uses every single word here to prove that there's a world to come.
Oh, Benny,
So this also what?
does he have an idea of a purgatory? That's what I mean, by growing up in this Christian environment, heaven, hell, purgatory, as opposed to all Jews have some world of souls and have something that's different than the way I think Christians view it. Not that I'm an expert in that. I think Christians' overview is that the heaven and the hell, and unless you believe in something, you go to heaven. You go
I
to.
don't know. I don't. We'll have to look because he's got specific essays where he discusses it and certain parts of the Torah where he brings it up. But Judaism is very careful about stepping into this territory. Yes, it intrigued human beings throughout history, and it stimulated their minds and their fantasies and their imagination. And the Torah and the Gemara and Torah, we touch on it, and there's Kabbalah, but we don't really go into super high resolution, right? Right, we try to keep it sacred. We try to keep it mysterious. We try to keep it something that we don't fully understand and appreciate because certain things are meant to stay that way. He
Well, the
doesn't. I
Rambam
don't know
describes.
his
I thought the
what.
Rambam describes it as a place of floating intellect. There's no body. Other people
Yeah,
think,
but
no,
what is that?
there's a
Okay, but
body.
that's
And
low. But that's low resolution. That's not high resolution. And that would make sense to me. That resonates to me as something that makes sense. A lot of people start asking, yeah, but what does that mean? Does a soul recognize a soul? Does it have conscience? Does it have a presence? Can it move from place to? Don't know. We don't know. We just don't know. The fact that this world is not the only world and that there is a soul, and the soul lives forever and is eternal. That I accept, and that's what Abravanel accepts, and he's going to prove every single word here insinuates that. But what exactly happens in the world to come, what it looks like, what it feels like, and Pirkei Avot even touches on that. But by insinuation, that in the next world you can't grow anymore. Tshuva u'Ma'asim Tovim is only here. You can only do deeds and grow here. You can't grow anymore there. So whatever you want to do, do now. You can't procrastinate in this world. And I'm a procrastinator as well. I'm talking to myself. We can't procrastinate over things and say we'll do it tomorrow. Al tomar shefne shne shema lo tipaneh. Rav Lichtenstein in this world today, it's not shema lo tipaneh. He says batuach lo tipaneh. You're so much going on, so many stimulations, so many ways to drain your time on nonsense and garbage. So much time you could just sit down doing absolutely nothing and think you're being productive, and you're not productive at all. It's absolutely ridiculous. So. The idea is not to procrastinate. The idea, Adam Lamal Yulad, he talked about it here before. We were born to sweat. We were born to act. We were born to create. We were created and brought down to this world to change, to create an impact, to influence another human being, to have an impact, to smile to another human being, to do a good deed, to choose to grow, to stay away, to consciously make a decision and a choice that uplifts us and doesn't bring us down. We were born here to correct, and all that stuff, right, is super critical because the world to come is, let's say, the soul world is static. There's no growing there. That's why it's so important to act and do here. Not because, oh my God, there's heaven and hell, like you just said now, and you'll burn in hell if not, and you'll do. No, it's not a matter of burning or not burning. It's the matter of where, who you want to be, what kind of person you want to become, and what level do you want to reach when you die?
No, but I mean,
What
one
kind
can
of.
be super productive in this world and not believe in a future world.
What's that?
One could be utilitarians that it's a good idea to be super productive as much as possible for all people in this world. Nothing to do with the future world. Just it's a really good idea that
Yeah,
everyone.
but notice, that when people die, read people's wills, okay? If we had like an AI that would read all people's wills in the world, right? And we had an AI that would go through the five things they say before they die. And there's a famous book on an Australian nurse that talks about the five things that people regret, right? Before they die. And mamash on their dying bed, what do they say? None of them, none of them, none of them, none of them talk about, I should have done another deal. I should have asked for more hours on my
Well,
as a
it's no
lawyer
longer
to
relevant, right? It's no longer
what?
relevant. It's no longer relevant. I mean,
No, I should have closed. I should have bought another building, another house, another stock. I'm so upset I didn't buy that stock. I'm so upset I didn't go to that beach or may have that holiday. The discussion is family, family time, bond with friends, your spiritual experiences, the learning experience. Those are the things that people bring. You should check out that book. It's a very nice book. The five things that people say before they die. I don't remember the name of the book, but it's a
Well, the
nurse.
U.S. National Institute of Health puts a list together. I wish I had the courage to live my life true to myself, not as others expected me of me. I wish I had not worked so hard. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. I wish I had let myself be happier. Those are the five things that are common in the United States.
None of them, I would, right, beautiful. Thank you very much. So none of them bring, I wish I was more productive in my law firm or in my, as an engineer or as a, you want to leave, you want to leave a print on your soul and on others in a way that has nothing to do with your materialistic accomplishments, so to speak. So yes, man created huge architectural buildings in order to leave that signature, right? But that's not really what was, you know, was left for them in their soul for the world to come, and that's not what they regretted, you know, when they died. Let's just continue because we won't have time to discuss it all, unfortunately. And the person, he says, that desecrates the Shabbat basically has no, this Abarbanel says, basically has no point of living. There's no reason for his physical body to keep on living, and that's why the punishment and the repercussion of desecrating the Shabbat is death. He said, by desecrating the Shabbat, you're saying two things. You're saying there's no soul, there is no eternity, there's no eternity to the soul, and there's no God that created the world. And therefore, if you're living that kind of life, you're only living a materialistic life. And you're only living a materialistic life, then you're living a life that's going to die because bodies die, because matter disintegrates and gets old. And that's why, if that's your point of reference, if that's your point of view, if that's the way you see life, then there's no point of you living. Because in any case, you're going to die. So today, tomorrow, in a year, it doesn't matter. So you shouldn't live because you don't understand, you don't appreciate, and you're completely denying the true essence of life and the world. And that's why he has to be killed by Beit Din, right? They kill him by stoning. The same, the person desecrates God himself. But you should say you can make an argument, but this is only one mitzvah and it's only a day and big deal and who knows? No, you should be the punishment. The person should understand how severe it is where you don't fully appreciate and understand the what the Shabbat resembles, what it means, what it's indicative of. And if you don't understand that, then there's no point of you living because if all your point of living is what Bruce said, is just being productive because it's good to be productive because you enjoy it. That's not the point.
No, I mean your
Kikola
divine,
Sibum,
material
what?
sense. I mean, imagine if your family lives in another city, but you're Shomer Shabbat, so you never visit them because you work during the week, and on Shabbat you don't travel. So there's a little contradiction because you could say to yourself, "I wish on those Shabbats I would have gone off to visit my kids and grandkids. I didn't do it because I kept Shabbat,
No, you're
so
talking about
I never saw
a.
my kids.
You're
I may
talking
have
about a
been."
small component of the Surim Shabbat. Basically, you could obviously invite them and be together with them regardless. I don't understand why that contradicts
No, I'm
it.
just wondering. I'm trying to create an example where there is a
Aguf and
contradiction.
Abarbanel says, I just want to just give two or three more key more psukim and just to complete this because Chaval, he says the body and the body energy, the body powers were created only to complete the soul. Again, the body and the body powers, and everything about your body, your bones, your muscle, everything about your body was created only to complete and help the soul grow. And if you don't strive from that, there's no point of anything else. That's why you'll be lost forever. You won't even come to the Olam Haschalim. You won't be part of the soul to come because you desecrated your soul. You. That's why a person who lives a life like that by choice is like a behemah, is like an animal because he's the lowest. There's no point of his life because he's living like an animal. The animal has no striving to a more spiritual higher ground, but you do. But you chose to be like an animal, and therefore there's no place for your soul in that spiritual world, because you don't belong there, and you won't have any existence there. You won't be entered in. The person who does melacha on Shabbat, his soul dies. And melacha means, we're not talking about driving to the beach necessarily. We're talking about desecrating the whole concept of Shabbat, where you think that Shabbat is time to work and do and be productive and think about and talk about and have, you know, that's not. And other people should make sure that you shouldn't continue life. At least that should be the punishment, so that we understand that's the biggest flag we raise, as from one mitzvah like this, that you have no continuation for your life. So the Ma'ase Shemisha lo ilmod lashlim nafsho ro'i le'orgo, should be worthy of death. Then he talks about that again. And now he talks about Sheshet Yemei Melacha to warn us that we shouldn't interchange the sacred day by any other day, because the 6 days are worthy of work. What's that? The 6 days are worthy of work, and only the 7th day is worthy of rest. Don't interchange them.
Why does it have to be in Shabbat?
What's that?
If the idea is to like recognize that there's another power and all about, you know, the world spiritual, why does it have to be in Shabbat?
Because the 7th day is this day that God rested, so to speak, and that's the day where there's a certain higher ground that you get to, and that's what the Torah tells us. Yom HaShabbat is the day of rest, is the day of rest of creation, and it's the day of ultimate rest, the Yom HaShvi'i, which is re resembles and is indicative of the world to come. Umnam Yom HaShvi'i hu Shabbat Shabbaton, and the Shabbat has 2 Shabbatot: the Shabbat Bereshit and Shvitat HaNefesh. We're not going to go into all of that. And then he says that there is also Kefel, where it says Keni Hashem Mikadeshchem. What's the sacred element that we appreciate from God, right? So he goes again. There's the Kedusha Nafshiit, just I want to go through one more word that he uses here, and we're gonna complete this. He says the world to come, he says the nefesh world is purposely ne'elam. It's hidden. It's remained to be mysterious, remained to be covered. Shabbat is like a small percent of what you're going to experience in the world to come. We don't know the matan sachar of the Shabbat. We have 2 Shabbatot. One is obvious on this world, and one is hidden from us in the world to come. And then he goes into the world of Brit Olam, and he goes into more words that in the parasha that prove to Abarbanel that the world to come is a fact, and we should strive for that. And it's a symbol, it's an ought for the entire world that Sheshet Yamim Asa Hashem et Hashamayim et Haaretz, Uviyom Hashvi'i Shabbat Veinafash, 7th day God rested, Umatam Anigle Hazeh. Because of that, well, we know that's why Bnei Israel keep the Shabbat. But the second ta'am of the soul being eternal, that is a true fact, right? But we don't know exactly how that is and how that will be prevailed to us. There's
Is he trying
more.
to respond to doubts that people had at the time and trying to clarify what was a problem in his day where there was a lot of controversy on this
I'm
and
sure. I'm sure there was always discussion. The Gemara itself is filled with discussion, right? Ayin v'lo ra'ata. Some said the areiti to olam haba v'olam hafuchu. It's a completely opposite world from this world. Some can say, how can you say that? You know, nobody was there. Yeah, and came back, right? But the bottom line is, he says the 2 parts. One is the rest, in order to allow the stimulation of the soul and the soul to grow. And the other one is the fact that you eliminate any type of product making, or any type of melacha, any type of productivity that is not soul related, and those 2 things complete themselves and uplift you to understand the Shabbat, to understand your soul, and to help it grow. I will stop here.
thank you.
Shavua Tov to all.
Thank you very much, man.
Well done. Thank you.
Arrest